Southern Mount Pleasant, isn't it?
Yeah, you know. I imagine all time.
We're sitting there studying all day. So we're just labor around.
Wow.
Real work,
huh?
This is my first stop here, Baruch Hashem. It's an amazing place to see, and you should keep using it and getting everything you can out of it. I'd like to speak about something which was, I was told Olam is Isaac is learning Chavis Halvavis, holding, I guess, at the end of Shachas Ba'Nefesh, and it's something that, I guess, it's Miyuchat for Shachas Ba'Nefesh, but I think it goes to much broader understanding of a sefer like Chavis Halvavis. What's the point in a sefer? What exactly is the sefer trying to do? It also, if there's something about the flow of the sefer, even though the sefer is a kadmon, but it's is reminiscent of the musar that's given, that the sort of musar movement's rejuvenation of a whole certain genre of musar and studies of musar. I'm trying to understand what exactly studies of musar, because I think people miss a point about it. When I tell somebody musar, so I could be informing him, you know, you don't know what's the right thing to do, let me inform you what's the right thing to do. So that would be pure halacha, and that makes is halacha really, even if I'm saying it in a very sharp tone of voice, but if I'm telling you not allowed to do this on Shabbos, I'm basically telling you halacha. I could be telling you something about mitzvahs that people, I'm sorry, I'm not just having the phone, so I don't turn it off because I'm not used to, I don't have a cell phone in America, only in that's a like Christian arts and type of phone. So let me just figure out how you think. You don't hear your connector just through here, you don't need to connect through wires in America. So if I'm telling you that, that's halacha. If I am using my words as a stick to get to do what's right, that's techacha musar. So I can use words very strongly to sort of bully you into doing something right, if you know it's right. But I wouldn't think that's the main focus of musar. And yet, so what is exactly the main focus of musar? What exactly is it? There are some halachas that are more obscure in terms of Chovos Halavavos, like things about Av and Yira that tend to be more obscure, so maybe that's Musa. Musa is sort of a segment of certain halachas. Also, it's not what the Chovos Halavavos most of it is doing. So let's translate what he's talking about. I want to describe one more phenomenon that we find a little difficult. We find in the Torah the word lev is used to describe understanding. Understanding, goodness, everything is the lev. There is no real word. The word moach doesn't appear in Hebrew except as bone marrow. Looking at it, you see a skull full. The word skull doesn't either. There's das, a song, but it's all described to lev. Okay, so it's a metaphor, of source, but I think there's something there, and this is the point I want to try to describe, which I think is the focal point of what Musar is and what Chovos Halavavos is. Let's look at a person, and a person's mind has in itself a lot of information, a lot of knowledge, or less information, less knowledge, whatever it is, it has that inside. That information and that knowledge does not really describe what I'm about to do. It also doesn't describe the person well, because imagine, let's say, the mind is a hard drive, so we're using computer language. What you see on the screen, I could have on my hard drive Ken Shasson and Oitza Chachma and 101 things, and the Oitza Chachma is the hard drive, and there could be a silly video game on the active drive. That doesn't describe it. Let's take a look at a person in halacha living is not at all described by a brain that is still alive, because the halacha deals with things that exist in reality, and stuff that's stored in the mind, that's potential chiyus, potential knowledge, full potential. It's not actualized. So my neshama is phenomenal potential. My neshama's got all potential in the world, and it's not here. What describes halacha to be a living being is breathing and or heart. And the reason is because that's the primary active, visible in the sense of giving some simen of a human's existence. So the brain has the potential to activate the heart and the lungs, but the etzem chiyus is the heart and the lungs. That's what is there. That's true physically. It's also true, much more important, in terms of the person's ruchnis. Who am I, and what am I going to do? So there's a part of me, and that's the most important piece of self, that applies certain parts of the mind and understanding to my heart. The heart being the first organ of life. So we can neurologically identify the brain, but what we're talking about heart means it's a type of understanding that moves something. It's enough active that something about the person himself has moved. If it hasn't, it's just there. Let's give an example. A child under the age of a mitzvah is not called by das in halacha. Does it mean that the child is stupid? You can have a kid who's 12 that has an IQ much greater than somebody who's 20. Yet he's a b'das mitzvah. The child's not missing enough. If you tell the child, okay, sit down and tell me the whole mistake of the Shagat Hayav out there, he can do it. But if the application of what he has there to the active part of the self is very limited. In halacha, when we speak about a shoyte, so people think it's somebody who has a limited mental capacity. It's not true. The Chazal give us examples. The examples I use for shoyte are people whose behavior is reckless, out of sync with anything a person knows to be dangerous or inappropriate or whatever it is. So there's a gap between the person's knowledge in the brain, which is potential knowledge, to what piece of this app applying. So the world of what the Torah considers as existing in terms of the most basic level of self is what has made it to the active part of my mind, which the Torah calls the heart. Just like if somebody tells me a fact, and the fact causes my heart doesn't beat quicker, less, I don't become red, I don't sweat, I don't become pale. Reaction, then I cannot say that idea is. So someone comes to me and tells me in southern Mali 500 people were killed. That idea is just information. It's not in my heart, because it caused zero in terms of any kind of increase of activity. So I'm not talking about doing something. I'm talking about did my heart beat quicker? Did it become emotional? Nothing. So the first, the point at which something crosses over from potential to being is that point which the Torah calls late. That's called the ha. So what do we do? How do we take the world of yiddish information, and which we assume to know, and move it on the next phase? That's really, really the issue. So the Torah tells us, and as far as Machdoshim, we have description of three strata of people's, what's the right word for it, a person exists on three strata. It's called Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. Machshava is what we describe the potential. It's whatever is in my brain, and it all, the only significance is that it can become something, but it is nothing. The other side is Maisa, which is the fullest actualization of something. Dibur is the connection of one to the other. As long as the person doesn't say the things, then the fact that it's laying there leaves it. You cannot go from potential to active brain, to active person, without Dibur. Dibur is what leads it together. I'm going to tell you a story once here, a fascinating story. I had a neighbor, Rav Goldwicht, Zechein Livracha. Rav Goldwicht was the Yeshiva Kerem B'Yavne for many years, and very, very big Talmud Chacham. I think he grew up in Yerushalayim, he was a Yassim, and he was very, very bright. Being that he was very, very bright, he was a Yassim, he was taken under the wings of the Chazon Ish and Briskarov. They both were very mekarev as a young boy, and even as an older person. So, he was a neighbor of mine, and he told me the following story once. When he was a young boy, in the summer, the Briskarov would take him for a walk. I think as a Yassim, he, you know, was Makarvim. He said basically his main strength was he knew where to keep quiet and not to talk, so that the risk of, you know, it wouldn't get annoying comments or things. He felt that was, but he was a very, very bright person, very Hashem Chacham. He said, so the Rav said, we'll now talk about the fire that happened in Brisk. And when the Brisk Rav was a young boy, I think 6 or 7 at the time, there was a big fire. Unfortunately, there's been terrible fires in cities in Europe. Everything was made out of huts were made out of wood and stuff like that. Really very bad. And so he had been playing on some sort of hilltop, and he was sitting on a hilltop, and he noticed smoke coming, and then into people see running, and so he's describing from memory everything that he saw: the smoke coming, the people running, and so on. And as he's telling the story, he turns pale, he sits down, catches his breath, and he says, we will not talk again about this. And that was it. And Rav Goldwicht's take on the story was, the Briskarov had a phenomenal memory, photographic memory. He'd seen the scene as a 6-year-old, hadn't understood it in its implications, what was happening actually, what was going on. He had never referred to it back again. The Rav had absolutely total control over his machshavas. And this is the first time he was saying over the story and living it. And the realization of what was perishing, what was happening to him, hit him at the time. And that's exactly the whole Dibur. So if a person says, okay, well, I mean, yeah, there's Eibushek, he runs the whole world, and there's Olam Haba, there's Olam Hazeh, okay, what's next? So it's not that he's lacking information, but you know, where? It says in the Pasuk, Chuyimachem Dvarim, Beshuva Lashem. A person, the road to coming back lies by taking Dibur, by taking words, because really is it a lack of information. The only thing that a Musa Sefer does is it's a facilitator in the sense of fleshing it out a lot better than we can. A lot more of the warmth, a lot more of the power of somebody who had done it for you. But it's more than that. So this is true about everything. It's doubly true about Chovos Halavavos. In other words, when we talk about taking a little bit of acid, putting it on film. So, okay, we can do that even in our sleep, because activity can go straight, it can skip activity can go straight from potential to realization without going to the middle once we program ourselves. So we do it. But there is no way a person can be besimcha by the fact that it was programmed to be besimcha. And it's one of the reasons why we keep having a lot of times issues with people being connected, motivated, because you can program and you can get things going in the world of Maisa, but there's no way that you can focus on Chovos HaLevavos without going through that process. So if we're to talk about Chovos HaLevavos, the Chaim used to bring the Chazal Ish HaYore by Borod, some aliboy, loisam aliboy. In other words, some aliboy and loisam aliboy was the key. It's not as if people, Mitzrayim didn't have to be Yirei Hashem in a frum way to have to want to bring in the mikneh. They could have said, listen, he's got a 6-for-6 record, or a 5-for-5 record. It's worth the chance to bring in. The question was, were they actively following in what they knew, or they were just kind of part of it? Vayeda Lekim, Rashi says, some Aliwa Ladas, Akash Baruch Hu put into mold a hanhaga of connecting what was known to what's going to start becoming activated. So the whole world of Musa, Chovos HaLevavos, is the, and that's why if you take off the Sefer, Chovos HaLevavos especially, it's really a Sefer of conversations. It's a Sefer of a person should tell himself this and this. A person should tell himself this and this. The flow of the Sefer really is a paradigm of conversations. Revolver writes somewhere, in his, he speaks about a person's different kufis, some better, some worse. And he makes the following point. He says, imagine the following scenario. A person who sees himself as a very, very big masmid. And he's been always made himself stark and sitting and learning. And one day he takes a look outside, it's sunny, it's nice, whatever, and just sort of walks out to base medrash, walks out to medrash and goes play ball, whatever he does. And then he feels, I'm a disaster, it was a fake, I really wasn't learning, and so forth. So he says, that's not true. He says, what it shows is there are layers of yourself that you still haven't reached, and that you haven't, that's still not along with it. You've managed, a person's consciousness goes, a person with different layers of more conscious, less conscious, and unconscious, subconscious, it goes in many, many layers of who we are. And so he says, the person needs to keep engaging in conversation with himself. I've touched a layer, and one layer, another layer. The question is, how deep down have those layers gone? So, and Musa will be focused on that. And I want to add a piece to it. In the Cheshvan HaNefesh, the purpose of a Cheshvan HaNefesh is not only to take note of things I might have missed. It's like when I talk to somebody else, so I don't know anything about him, I don't know you did this, I don't know this, I did this. We tend to know what we did. Very few people are sleepwalk and people come to tell us, you saw this, you did this, you did that. That's not usually where we're coming from. What's normal for us is that we don't actually, we put it as very vague information. We put it down as something which is sort of possibly could be reconstituted as information and as being. Whatever it is, his bonus with diburim, in other words, when we're able to flesh out and say things to ourselves, that's the connection between what we potentially can be to what we are. Not only what we do, it helps us a lot for what we're going to do, but it helps us when a person is besimcha when he sits down and he says to himself, this is what I have, this is what I have, and this is what I'm fortunate to have, and this is what I'm fortunate to have. That's what a person says it, and a person says it honestly. Chovos HaLevavos is only, it's a paradigm, but a person needs to find his own words for it. And so when a person makes a cheshvan nefesh, a person also needs to understand himself and say out. It's not just beating himself over the head. It's being able to bring out what it is that you feel and why you regret doing something, why you're happy for something. Being this bonding for simcha, If a person needs, if we have simanim of simcha, it means we need to sit and think about the schus that we have. That the first schus is yidilonim in a kohen. And I would say, if we were able to be mizbonim and be as kind to ourselves and as simcha as we should be, we would have a much easier time. If a person would sit and think that we're fortunate, we're Am Yisrael, we're fortunate, we're Kera, we're fortunate that Baruch Hu was Nofer, Chaya, all of them was Heino. No matter how much we struggle, we're sitting here and struggling about things that are Ruchnis. I mean, you know, I cringe sometimes. I was once at a function with the Assistant Secretary of State of America, and we flew back, and he was, the person's Jewish, very, very distinguished. He was not anymore for many years already, and he was sitting and discussing Dora Moshe Mishalom, what is it, with this, with that, whatever. We got off the plane, and he told me he'll give me a ride home. He had a big car waiting for the State Department, kiosk, bin, and the first thing he turns around to the driver and asks him, who won the game? And I said to myself, you know, it's like, look at the world I was fortunate enough to have. I mean, look at the world that we're fortunate to have. Look at the world from a solo. Look at the gift we have. So yes, the fact that we struggle with it, maybe do something better, something worse, but look at what we're struggling with. And it's a tremendous chizuk if we can say that with words. I mean, you know, we have a family life. We have a family. I learned an older person. He's a man older than 50 years. He's not from a very, very positive person, very intelligent person, very positive. I've known him for a few weeks. He's connected to yeshiva and so on. And very, very successful businessman and other things. And he, with tears in his eyes, his one wish and fantasy, the one thing that he can't get for all his money and everything, is grandchildren. He says, you know, maybe at least someday see grandchildren. Because there's no family left anymore. And yes, we struggle, and shidduch is not easy, and parnassah isn't easy. But if a person were to think, if a person would be able to verbalize it and say it, we'd awaken simcha, we'd awaken ava for the things we do well, and we'd awaken yira also. So basically, I think it's important that Chovos HaLevavos is the classic sefer of conversations. It's the bridge between the lev and the seichel, or whatever you want to call it, between knowledge and the person of actualization. Words are the key to it. Chovos HaLevavos himself is very sophistic, but at the end of the day, it's putting our own words, but finding our own words and realizing it through those words. That's when we start being. It's where we've taken the potential that we have with everything we learned, everything we know, and actualize it both in tchum of olam ha'maisa and in tchum of more than that, olam, we'll call it regish for lack of a better word, where that. That's actually who we are. Batzlacha. Okay.